Brethren, today's message, the title of today's message is Yoked with Christ. Yoked with Christ. In the ancient world, and still in some places today, a yoke was a simple but vital tool that was used to guide animals with specific farming tasks. Because a yoke was so integral to daily life, people recognized and understood the symbolic implications it had. And this is why it served with such a powerful and effective metaphor for Jesus Christ in Matthew 11 and verse 28. We're going to turn there. Let's turn to Matthew 11 and verse 28. This is the scripture that we'll focus in on for the sermonette. And I think it's key for us as well, as we said earlier, the Sabbath is so important to learn about our brother and our father and our purpose. So let's start there. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says in Matthew 11 and verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Many of us heard this verse and have memorized it. So what is Jesus saying to us? What is he trying to tell us and teach us? Well, I want to bring a little context to this word yoke. A yoke is a wooden beam. If any of you have seen pictures, a wooden beam that is used, a frame that holds animals together, multiple animals at times, together. And most commonly, it's used to connect oxen, which were integral to the farms. It allowed them to pull heavy loads, such as a plow or a cart, in unison together. A single ox could pull its own weight, but a yoked pair could pull much more, often 2 to 3 times their combined weight. This made the yoke a critical tool for increasing productivity in farming. It was a benefit to all that used it. And by yoking animals together, a farmer had better control of their combined strength, directing them more easily. The yoke ensured they worked as a team, moving in the same direction at a constant pace. And this was especially important when plowing straight ruts in the ground and preparing the soil for seed. Farmers would often tie a young yoke with an experienced ox with an older, stronger one. They would connect or tie off a younger ox with an older ox that had more experience and more strength. The older ox would bear the majority of the weight and set the pace for the younger one. And so that by doing this, the younger also learned how to follow and to pull the straight line. This ensured the young animal was trained properly without being overwhelmed by the burden of the plow. And so, brethren, with this in mind, I want us to take a few minutes here and consider what it means to be yoked with Christ. To the people of Israel, a yoke often symbolized subjugation because they had suffered under the yoke of Egypt, under Babylon, and at that time under the yoke of Rome. But a yoke didn't always have a negative connotation. Under rabbinic tradition, the yoke of the law signified an image of God's love for his people and a voluntary embrace of God's commandments. To bear God's yoke was to live under his instruction, walking in the covenant with him, making a conscious choice to instill God's law and his structure and purpose in their lives. This was critical for them, and it wasn't a burden. But by Jesus' day, that beautiful image of God's instruction had been corrupted. Instead of honoring God's law as a blessing, the Pharisees piled tradition upon tradition, turning God's commandments into a crushing load of man-made rules. In fact, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees openly. And in Matthew 23 and 4, you can write this one down, Matthew 23 and 4, he says to them, "For they bind heavy burdens, which are hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." No wonder the people were tired and weary. Their backs were bent and their souls exhausted from the burden that they carried day in and day out. For the first time, Christ was offering a yoke that didn't crush, it relieved. A burden that didn't exhaust, it refreshed. A partnership, not of oppression, but of grace and strength. And so when Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's inviting us to him, which is the first point I want to make here in this message. Jesus invites us to connect with him. The people were tired and exhausted from the crushing weight of Rome's oppression and the rules that were pressed down by the Pharisees. The Pharisees took the law that God gave the people for a better life and superseded it with their human traditions. They added rules upon rules until it became an unbearable spiritual load. They made the law of no effect through their traditions. God's law was meant to be a blessing, and they turned it into a burden. The problem was not the law, it was the Pharisees, their distortions of the law, and the weight of sin that the people carried. God's way has always been one of connection. Let's start turning to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. God's ways have always been a way of connecting his people, uniting his people, an invitation to love God and each other. It was not meant to be a tool of oppression to push people away. This verse in Isaiah 55 and verse 1 echoes Jesus' invitation to all of us. It says, and I love this because it starts with, if you're in a New King James, ho, ho. How many times do you see that in the Bible? When I yell out like that, my wife yells at me. What are you doing? Stop screaming. Ho, it's urgency. He's trying to get your attention, to grab your attention. He says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? And he says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Jesus invites us to connect with him. He calls out those who are spiritually thirsty, longing for meaning, for peace and purpose in their lives. And the best part is he doesn't ask for money or status, just a willing heart, someone who's willing to take the step forward and accept Christ. He offers us rest, not freedom from God's law, but freedom from sin, from the cares of the world, and the burdens of life that ensnare us. When we are connected to Christ, we find increased strength and partnership and a true rest for our souls. And so when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, he's making the second point. If we accept the invitation and become yoked to Christ, he will lighten our load and give us gentle care. He will watch over us. Brethren, unlike the Pharisees' yoke, which crushed the people under endless rules and rigid expectations, Jesus offers a yoke that brings freedom, not oppression. To take his yoke is to follow his teachings and to submit to his guidance. If we take his yoke, he will lead us with gentleness, not harshness, walking alongside of us as a teacher and a shepherd. Remember, the yoke served as a training tool. Just as the older ox bore most of the load and set the pace, Jesus bears the greater share of our burdens, guiding us and teaching us to walk in step with him. This is only accomplished through the power of his Holy Spirit. Christ is not only beside us, he empowers us from within to carry what we could never bear alone. And unlike the Pharisee, he is willing to help us with a gentle care. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11 beautifully illustrates this for us. Let's turn here. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 11, here Isaiah says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and he will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. So being yoked with Christ also means we are never alone. Jesus lightens our load with his gentle care. He is our teacher, our shepherd, and our helper. guiding us gently and helping us to shoulder life's burdens. So brethren, when Jesus says, "And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light," once again, Jesus promises something deeper than the physical rest, bringing us to the third and final point, which is, if we are yoked to Christ, he will give us rest. If we are yoked to Christ, he will give us rest. And this is not about escape from work or trials. Life still requires labor. Our obedience to God still requires an effort. But when we are yoked with Christ, the burden is no longer crushing. Also, point here is the Greek word translated as easy can also mean well-fitting. And just as a carpenter shaped a yoke to fit an ox, to fit the ox's neck perfectly, so it would not wound or chafe the ox, Christ, our carpenter, fits us with a yoke that is designed not to hurt, but to help. His burden is light, not because there is no responsibility, but because he shoulders the heavier load. He walks the path and shows us the way. Let's turn to Jeremiah for our final scripture here. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. I'll be reading this verse from the NIV, which I think just expresses this verse so eloquently. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah foresaw the way to rest. And in these verses, he makes it clear. He says, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." That old and ancient path is obedience to God's way of life. When we come to this crossroad, we must choose to walk the ancient path of faith, the narrow path rather than the broad path. Jesus is the way. He brings us into his rest, not by removing obedience, but by empowering us through him. True rest comes from ceasing to rely on our own works for righteousness and instead trusting Christ to work in us as we walk in obedience and faith. And in doing so, Jesus gives us the rest that we seek. Not rest from responsibility, but obedience by faith. His yoke is well-fitting, his burden light, because he carries it with us. Picture again the two oxen in the yoke. One strong, steady, and experienced. The other weaker, still learning. Together they move forward. The stronger carries most of the weight, and the weaker learns the way step by step. That is our life in Christ. He calls us to take his yoke, not the yoke of sin, not the yoke of man-made traditions, not the yoke of self-reliance, rather a yoke of brotherly love with gentleness and strength. And so, brethren, let us review what it means to be yoked with Christ. First, it is an invitation to connect with him, a personal call that can free us from the burdens of our life. But we must choose. And if we accept that call to be yoked with him, he will lead us with a gentle care, bearing the weight and guiding us with his Spirit. And in doing so, Christ will give us rest, not an escape from life, but peace and strength in the midst of it. This is the good news. Christ's yoke doesn't crush us. It relieves us. His burden doesn't exhaust us. It renews us. His rest is deeper than anything this world could ever offer. A rest for our souls. This is the rest we seek here today on this Sabbath. And this is what it means to be yoked to Christ.